And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God said it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God said it was good.
I have had, laryngitis for 2 days. I'm taking my voice out for the first time this morning, so please bear with me. My first word when I was born that I ever spoke, according to my mother, was not all that tried and true mama. It was not even that ever popular dada. Oh no, I had to be different. My first word was why. My mother said it was the only word I spoke until the age of 7. I think that was an exaggeration. She said I would ask a question and I would keep asking why until I received a satisfactory answer or I realized I was the only one left in the room. Whichever came first. When I got like this, my mother said, you know, you remind me of a dog with a bone. And I have no idea what she meant by that. But I know for a long time afterwards, every time I said why, I got this vision of this little chihuahua chewing on this huge bone. When I was 6, our family moved to Midwest City. And I started attending the Nazarene Church. Oh, did I have questions? I was like a kid in a candy store. But as I got older, the answers to my questions began to leave me confused, frustrated. And there were times the answers were even painful. The last question I asked before I left was regarding perfection, this verse of scripture. I said, what does it take to be perfect? Well, the minister said, you can never sin, you can never make a mistake, no imperfections, no flaws, and you're to struggle every day to reach that perfection, but it can never be achieved because humanity, our nature is one of imperfection from birth. I knew in my heart that that answer was not correct. I knew that the God that I knew at that time in my life would never ask me to do something and then set me up to fail. After I left the church, I went on a journey to find the answers to my questions. And I found the answer to the question about perfection. And I want to share this with you. Quite some years ago, I went into the House of Clay. It's over here on Western. I think it's still operational. And when I walked in, right in the middle of the room, was this potter's wheel. There was a woman sitting there. She had placed a ball of clay on the wheel, but she didn't turn it on. She never touched the clay. She just stared at it for about 10 minutes. And suddenly, she turned the wheel on, laid her hands on the clay, and within 2 minutes, she had created the most beautiful, perfect vase I'd ever seen. But you knew I had to ask. I walked over to her and I complimented her on the vase. But I said, why did it take you so long to decide what to make? She looked at me and she said, I wasn't trying to decide what to make. I was waiting for the clay to show me what it already was. All I did was give it its true identity. By the look on my face, she knew I needed additional information. She said, every true artist, whether they're a potter, a painter, a sculptor, will only create what they see in the clay or on the blank canvas or inside the marble. When we do this, the results are always perfect. If we do only what we want, regardless of its true identity, it will always be flawed and imperfect. This face that I'm holding will be perfect even after it is fired. It will not chip. It will not crack. If I created what I wanted from the clay, it would not fare as well. I may have to discard it. I turned to leave, but I could not get that woman's words out of my mind. As I stood there, standing by the door, I suddenly had what, for want of a better word, an epiphany. It was always unmistakable. It was the voice of God. But for me, God's voice has no words. It has no audible sound. It's a voice that suddenly appears in my consciousness as a thought. It usually comes with a mental image. It's always complete in its form. And I know it's God, because what appears will resonate through my soul. Standing in the house of clay, God answered the question about perfection. The woman at the potter's wheel was not just describing artists. She was also describing us. Our scripture is the creation story. It's how God created all living things on earth. And God looked upon everything created and said, it is good. Another word for good is perfect. Why did Jesus use the word perfect in our scripture? What did he mean by perfect? Well, according to my reference books, it means to be whole, complete, committed to God, to be a representative of God. But more than anything, it means to be inclusive. Now, where have I heard that word? I've heard it so often the last 2 years. Here. So I guess you don't need a definition. To be inclusive, as God is inclusive. Oh, I like the sound of that. God placed within our consciousness a long time before we were born God's presence, the Christ. Christ consciousness, the Spirit of God, it probably has 100 names. But we are connected to this presence. This is what gives us our true identity, our real self. The connection also gives us our perfection. Knowing my true nature allows me to see myself differently than I ever have. It also allows me to see you differently than I used to. The presence is invisible. It's invisible within us. But when we look within ourselves, we become aware of God's presence. The more time we spend in communion, the more we begin to know and understand the truth of our being. It transforms us. And this truth becomes visible through us. Before we discover our real selves, our outer appearance is only an expression of who we think we are or who we are told we are by other people. But when we know our true nature, we become an expression of our true and perfect self. But we can never express in our outer appearance more of God than what we know and understand at the time. It's a process. In our contemporary reading, Michelangelo sculpts a beautiful, perfect statue. But the government officials could not see its perfection and asked him to improve it. He knew it could not be improved. This reading reminded me of the answer I received so long ago in a Nazarene church, where I was told that perfection was a struggle in futility. As I thought about it, I had to agree, but not for the reason they told me. It's a struggle in futility because Michelangelo demonstrated that you cannot improve on perfection. The woman at the house of clay, talked about the artists and how what was invisible, they used their talents and their skills to make it visible. I don't know if that's true. I know absolutely nothing about art. Put it all in a thimble, we got room left over. But Michelangelo agreed with her when he said, "I looked into the marble, and I saw an angel, and I carved, and I carved until I set the angel free." Like an artist, we too are called to look within ourselves and see our true identity, which was invisible. But in time, through our knowledge and understanding, we allow it to transform us and to make our true self visible. The scripture about perfection, I can read it today. The words are the same, but it's not what I hear Jesus saying. Isn't that wonderful about scripture? Sometimes you read it, and sometimes you have to listen to it. And what I hear now when I read that passage is you are perfect because your Creator is perfect. I do not want to be an expression of who I think I am or even who I think I want to be. I don't even want to be an expression of who you think I ought to be or who you want me to be. I want to be the expression that I was created to be. I want to be an expression of who I already am. And so it is.